Turn to Proverbs 3:16. I'm going to cover another three verses tonight, Lord willing. Still talking about the benefits of wisdom and the value of wisdom. Proverbs 3:16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. So Solomon is continuing to give us the reasons why the man that finds wisdom and gets understanding is a happy man, and happy in the primary sense, a blessed man, there in verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Now I want you to notice something here. It's kind of interesting that wisdom has both her hands full of blessings there for the person that gets it and keeps her ways, because in her right hand is length of days, and in her left hand is riches and honor. So let's look at the right hand first of all. Length of days is in her right hand. So we see here the first of the blessings is length of days. And we saw that in verse 2 as well. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And I would conclude that based on a couple of things, that the length of days is a more important blessing than the riches and honor. And there's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, it's listed first in verse 16. So length of days and then riches and honor are listed secondly. So usually the thing that's listed first is the most important one, typically speaking. Well, this is kind of a side note, but in writing, the where you place something in the sentence will determine what the emphasis on it is. And so if you're ever writing something and you really want to emphasize a certain thing, don't put that thing in the middle of the sentence. The beginning of the sentence is good, but they say the end of the sentence is actually the best. That's where the emphasis will really lie. But typically when you're listing off things, most of the time, when you list off the first thing, it's the most important. But then secondly, another reason for this is that length of days is found in wisdom's right hand, okay, as opposed to her left hand. And in Scripture, the right hand is a symbol of power, and it's a symbol of authority. You look in Psalm 20 and verse 6. And if you just start, you may never have thought about that before, but if you just start thinking, you'll probably have some verses running through your head, like the right hand of God and things like that, and that you'll think, boy, the Scripture talks about the right hand of God a lot. And there is something that is significant to God about his right hand. And that probably has something to do with why I think it's like 85% of the population, if I remember right, is right-handed. I don't think that's probably by coincidence. But anyway, Psalm 20 and verse 6 says, "Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." So here we see the right hand is a symbol of strength, and then the right hand is also a symbol of authority. Look in 1 Peter 3 and verse 22. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God and has been given all power and authority. 1 Peter 3, verse 22. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection, who is gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So the fact that he's at the right hand of God is connected with the fact that the angels and authorities and powers, all other authorities, whether they be angelic or human, are all under his subjection. So we see there that those two things are symbolized by the right hand. The right hand is also the symbol of God's mercy and his grace. Look at Matthew 25, and you'll get it as soon as we get there if you don't recognize the reference already. Matthew 25, 33 through 34. I don't think it was just arbitrary where Jesus did an eeny, meeny, miny, mo to figure out which hand the righteous and the wicked were going to be at. There's a reason why they're at the right hand. Matthew 25, 33, it says, "And he shall..." This is at the great white throne judgment, when all nations are gathered before him. "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, "Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So the righteous, the ones that are saved by the grace and mercy of God, they're on the right hand. The ones that are not recipients of God's mercy, they're on the left hand. So we see the right hand, a symbol of power, authority, and God's grace and mercy. And clearly in the Bible, the right hand has the preeminence over the left hand. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 2 will establish this for us. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 2. It says, "A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left." We got any left-handed people in here? Oh, that's good. Oh, she's not here. Okay. Well, I was going to make a joke, but anyway, so I've been meaning to, I know a certain person, woman in another church that is left-handed, that she likes to spar with me a bit, and I have been meaning to bring this verse up for so long, and one of these days I will remember, and whenever the topic of left-handedness comes up, and I will use this verse and provoke her ire, which I can't wait to do, but anyway. And then the second half of the verse. So anyway, so going back, length of days then clearly is more important than riches and honor. Now, of course, we would typically think that if you gave us the choice between the two, most people would probably take riches and honor over length of days. But the Bible places a higher priority on the long life. And then the second part here, "And in her left hand, riches and honor." So, like I said, most people would probably choose the riches and honor over long life, but the word order here, in fact, teaches that riches and honor are found in the left, and that means they are inferior to long life. But nevertheless, riches and honor are blessings from God. If you look at 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 12, but the nice thing is it's not like we have to choose, right? If you seek and obtain and retain wisdom, then you get both riches and honor and long life and peace. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 12. This is in this is David's prayer that he had made. I think it was David. No, this is Solomon. Solomon's prayer, I do believe. Anyway, he says there in verse 12 in his prayer to God, "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all." So I think that's just really interesting, because look at what is contained in the verse there, riches and honor and reigning and power and might and strength. So a lot of the things that we just looked at, that the hand of God represents power, authority, reigning over all, and then riches and honor are there, right? It's all coming there from the hand of God, essentially. And the Lord bestows riches and honor on people that are faithful. 2 Chronicles 17, 3 through 5. King Jehoshaphat, here is an example of this. "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah." So this is one of the few places in the Bible where the word, when it says his heart was lifted up, it refers to a good thing, a positive sense. Most of the time when somebody's heart is lifted up, they're full of pride, right? But in this case, his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. "And when a man's ways please the Lord, maketh his enemies to be at peace with him, and he also brings riches and honor to the person." And that this was the case with Jehoshaphat.
Did he go, he went a step beyond, wasn't Asa the one that, for whatever reason, didn't take away the high places? He removed his mother from being queen.
Yep.
So,
there was quite a few.
Looks like Jehoshaphat went beyond that.
And it seems like either the high places were never entirely taken down, or they must have been rebuilt after, because it would talk about certain kings that had removed the high places, and then it wouldn't be long after that, and then it talks about another king that didn't remove the high places, and so it's, yeah, that kind of thing is, it, old habits die hard, right, and people like their old false religions, and kind of like in the days of Oliver Cromwell in England, when Cromwell was in charge, England was toeing the line, and everybody was living fairly righteously, but boy, as soon, and Cromwell had pretty well established the theocracy almost, but as soon as Cromwell died, England went on this drunken binge for years, and it fell apart. It didn't, without his strong leadership there, you can't change a leopard's spots, right? You can't change them. They're accustomed to doing evil to do good, and so it didn't end up working out in the long run. So the Lord bestows riches and honor on the faithful and on them that seek wisdom. Proverbs 8 and verse 18. Proverbs 8 and verse 18. It says, riches and honor are with me, this is wisdom speaking, yea, durable riches and righteousness. And she says there, them that seek me early shall find me, and so on. So the people that seek wisdom, wisdom then blesses them with wisdom and honor. Could just be throwing it into your lap just because God's pleased with you, or it could be with giving you good sound sense, and you make good decisions, and then you end up getting wealth that way as well. So that takes care of verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand and in her left hand, riches and honor. That'll take us to verse 17.